Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast.
Did you notice? I think Antoine had two different sets of clothes on, maybe even three. It took me three times to watch that update to realize, wait, he doesn't have the same clothes on. What's he doing? And you never know where he's going to be talking from. He's in a big basket out there or something like that. Antoine is unique and wonderful, I guess. What do we say about that crazy guy there? But I do love what the young guy said. You come in like this and then you're like this. I like that. If you're without Jesus, with Jesus. Without Jesus, with Jesus. That's good, huh? So I believe today, while you're here, you came in maybe here, but you're going to leave here. Amen? Let's do that, okay? Because it's just great to be all together growing in God's word and, you know, just being together. Church is so, so valuable. So I'm really glad that you chose to be here. I would really encourage you to make it a absolute choice. You know, like you don't have to redecide every week. Am I going to go to church? Am I not going to go to church? Just decide I am a church person, you know, and then that way you never have to redecide. People have asked Casey and I if we're ever gone or something like, you know, do you go to church? Well, for one thing, usually if we are gone on a Sunday, it's because we're teaching at a church. But we always go to church if we're not someplace else because we go to church. It's like that. So Casey's in, where's he at? Armenia. That's right. I was trying to, I've been saying Antifa. They'll go, no, that's not where he's at, Wendy. Oops, he's in Armenia and with a really great group of pastors that they've literally come from, I think it's about 10 different nations that come there because it's a really safe place for them all to be. So there's literally from, and listen, they're from Azistan. Just say letters before all those letters, and that's where they're from, including Russia, Ukraine, Italy, Kazakhstan, Rajasthan, I don't know. In all that, there's a lot of different that are pastors that are there. So he is, and so you always have to pray for him. And he went to South Africa and now he's there. But it's just really valuable to teach pastors to really be strong and courageous. You know, we in America, I do want us to be strong and courageous, but in some countries, they genuinely have to be strong and courageous because they're literally getting killed for faith. And so I'm like, wow, it's just a great, great honor that we get to send our pastor to go teach other pastors, renewing their minds and really how to grow in their marriages. I think those are kind of the strong messages that he's consistently speaking when he's going. So praise the Lord for that. And so that's always good. So, you know, when they put together this series, Glass House. So did any of you, when you saw this series, how many of you have been coming for a while? You've been coming every week listening to the Glass House, right? Yeah, good. Okay, so some of you, when he did Glass House, did any of you go, Glass House? Like, did any of you kind of go, what's that? Like, or was it just me? You know, I went, Glass House? We're going to teach on the Glass House? All I could think about was kind of, my mind did not go down a positive pathway. I'm just going to tell you right off the bat. You know, I went, Glass House? Okay, because in my mind, you know, when you talk about the Glass House, I'm thinking like, I don't know, like people throwing stones at your house or it's like, what's a glass house? Like I could not figure out really what the message was going to be. And so my immediate response was, I'm like, whatever. I'm kind of like, hello, what are they going to say? You know? And can you believe that? I still do that once in a while. I should be more spiritual. So I apologize right off the bat. What can I say? So, but also, you know, in my mind, the word glass house went down this direction also because I'm a pastor's kid. My parents were pastors. And when I grew up, I always lived next door to the church. That's in the denomination that my dad was pastor. We live right next door to the church, and we moved around all of my life. So we started in Oregon, then moved into Washington. And we always say that I'm from Wenatchee, but I only graduated high school from Wenatchee. So we always have to say I'm from someplace, but I'm not really from anywhere in those times of life because we moved all the time. So, but the thing about living in the pastor's parsonage is that you really did live in a glass house. And so when they said glass house, all I could think about was, oh, great. You know, because my immediate story came up in my mind, certain things that happened because, you know, like if you live in the parsonage, you're supposed to take care of it, you know, which was fine, except the fact that neither one of my parents were gardeners at all or wanted to work in the yard at all. In fact, I'm pretty sure my dad did not own a lawnmower because he was so he was not an outside person. I tried to make him walk when he got older, but he was like, oh, thanks, honey. He'd pat me. He didn't like it. And he just was not that guy that worked in the yard. And my mother, hello, she did not either. So what can I say? But I do remember that the reason I tell this story is because when they said glass house, immediately that story came to mind where, you know, because you live in the parsonage, that means if my dad did not have a lawnmower, guess what our lawn looked like, people? So all of a sudden, you know, when the weeds and the grass is about up to here, or it probably wasn't that tall, but it was, they must have gotten some complaints because my father came home on a Saturday, because remember, church is Sunday, so everybody would be there. My dad came home, and my dad says, everybody outside right now. And, you know, all of us, you know, Debbie, John, me, Scott, Gina, we all started. Jill was too tiny. She couldn't get out of the crib. So we all had to get out. All five of us had to go out in the yard, and dad's, you know, cracking like a whip. Clean the yard. Go pull those weeds. And then my dad would lose his enthusiasm. It took us about an hour, and then we'd sneak all back in the house, you know. And so that's about how much I like yard work still today. And that's not my thing either, except I have beautiful apple trees. I'm just saying, I do like that. So anyway, but my view of a glass house was just kind of a judgment. You know, like if you live in a glass house, they're going to judge you. Did anybody have that thought when you thought about that? Oh, thank you. Like one person's honest in the front row. Helps me out, all you liars that are all back here. You know, I'm just saying. So when they began to teach, Caleb and Casey, which were, I mean, off the chart teaching on really your identity in Christ, really understanding what God thinks about you and what he sees, see the glass out, sees in you, what is seen in you from God. I was like flabbergasted sitting there. You should make sure if you have not downloaded our app, download CF Church app, because if you get that, it's all free. I mean, come on, don't even charge you for it. Then you can listen to the lessons over and over and over where it really talks about who we are, okay? And to see ourselves from what God says about us. Now to me, as I'm sitting there, I am just like overwhelmed with the joy of hearing what God says versus what my computer or what my memory bank said. You know, my memory bank went down this pathway of kind of judgment, mean, not good, was bad, right? That's what my computer went right into. And you know, your computer, my computer, we have been programmed all of our life. We all are programmed in what where we were raised, what the culture was, what our teachers said, what we watched on TV, what we read on social media. All the things that we are getting inside of us, they go into our computer and then out pops our life. Of what we have put into the computer of our life, out pops our life. So I would say if you're having some real challenges in your life, you're angry all the time, you're sick all the time, you're mad all the time, you're depressed all the time, you know, you can't get right relationships all the time, I would say check your computer input. What are you putting into your computer? Because your life only reflects what you have inside of you, you know? So if you're always depressed, it's not anybody else's fault that you're depressed. Now, sure, there can be some very hard situations that you might be dealing with, right? But you can still take those situations and figure out how to have victory in them, okay? So I'm not trying to downgrade that there are not hard things, but how we respond to life is what has been put within. And many of us live, as soon as I heard the glass house, look at my computer, immediately went to negative. immediately went to judgment, immediately went to, oh, that's not good. I don't want that. And then instead of that going that direction, I had the opportunity of hearing something different. And that's really what I would really love us all to take a really good kind of a look at today as we're sitting here going, what's in my computer? What am I hearing? What is coming out of me? And so what is happening in my life? Is Christ being seen? Is Jesus shining? Or am I always mad? Am I always sick? Am I always, you know, wanting to fight with somebody? Am I always allowing, is my computer overwhelming what I want? You know, is that my background, my things that have already been put within them? So when I started to listen to that whole, oops, don't fall. When I speak, can you believe it? I'm a girl up here. And when I begin to hear that message on my identity, I just was so encouraged. Because when you and I begin to renew our computers or renew your mind, as Romans 12 would teach us, think different thoughts. Think the thoughts of God. You're like, wow, like, sheesh. I can actually, God actually, that scripture that Tosi read in Ephesians 1:4, where God actually just loves you, right? Okay, think about that going into your computer today. That goes into your computer. What happens to you when you begin to think, wow, God really loves me? Well, many of us have had different kind of computer input that was not that you're loved, was not that you're great in the sense of how God sees you. Many of us think of ourselves as, you know, like, well, I can get by, or, you know, I live a lot with anxiety, or I live a lot with, man, too bad all these bad things have happened, or man, poor me. I mean, many of us have a lot of different computer input side of us that's causing us not to be getting ahead, but just be spinning our wheels and constantly going backwards and getting depressed again and being anxious again. So when you hear that scripture, boom, you go, wait a minute. That's the scriptures that they've been going through in these last weeks on really seeing yourself in the glass house and the identity that Christ sees in you. Well, when you and I begin to hear what God says, the cool thing about renewing your computer is that you start being a better husband, you start being a better wife. And it isn't even that it just comes out of you. Because when you start going, wow, I'm really loved. All of a sudden you see, you know, your husband, you see your wife, and you're just a little bit happier, so you talk nicer. You know, isn't it amazing? The Bible says, you know, a soft answer turns away wrath. Proverbs says that. Soft answer. But when you're happy, you don't have to remind yourself to have a soft answer, because that's what comes out of your computer, comes out of the you in your life. So when we talk about renewing your mind, I'm thinking better thoughts. The reason is that just when you plant that into your computer, you will live it out in your life. So all of a sudden you're talking a little bit gentler to your husband, to your wife, but you don't even have to think about it. Your children don't bug you as much. Or maybe they don't bug you, but you know what I mean. But you have a little bit better thought. You have a little bit more. You have a little bit more strength of not being quick to respond to something that you should be slow to anger on. So you, in parenting, in fixing that computer, your parenting, it runs over into your life. Then you go to your work. Now you're at your work and you've been renewing your mind. You've been really letting your computer get full of the ways of God, and you're beginning to think like God thinks about you. Now you're at your job and somebody maybe is sneaky and conniving, and they're sneaking around you and even getting your job or talking bad about you to people that would help you. You know, they're talking bad to the people that you would like you because you would like a better job or whatever. But instead of getting all angry mad, you go, you know what? God will bring favor upon me. Why do you say that? And you go, why did I say that? Oh, wow. I'm getting a better understanding of who I am in Christ. So instead of getting all anxious and mad at your job, see, all these things begin to add and add and add as we begin to live in this beautiful place of changing and renewing our mind and getting our computer cleaned up. But you got to get out the bad. And you got to get in the good. And the thing about your computer is your computer just doesn't get filled. Like I got born again at 17. But so I have a lot that got inputted till I was 17. But the world doesn't quit trying to input my computer at that time and say, oh, darn, off limits, she's saved. No, no. That constantly the devil comes to fill your computer on a regular basis, on a daily basis. You know, constantly, you know, get sick, get sick, get sick, get sick, get sick, get sick. Sheesh. I have to say, that is one thing that just drives me batty. How much the advertisements on everything, just anything that you listen to, that you watch, that you see, constant medication. And if it's not medication, lose weight, lose weight, lose weight, lose weight, lose weight, lose weight. I want to just go shut up already. I mean, all we're going to do is have little skeletons walking around if they had their desire of how much ever we're supposed to be losing weight around here. And I'm like, stop it, please. How about eat healthy, eat healthy, eat healthy, eat healthy, and stop all that other stuff, you know? But it just drives me crazy. And I'm thinking, man, we are creating a society that watches all this stuff, including ourselves, because it's getting put in our computer. Just think about all the sisters in the room. Some brothers get this, but more sisters deal with the weight issue than brothers do, is that us women that watch these constant commercials on losing weight, well, then what about your body image? Your body image is out the window. Now, God doesn't say that about your body image. He wants you to understand, fearfully and wonderfully made. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, we're just fearfully and wonderfully made. But but your computer is getting fed by all the advertisement that you and I are watching. Lose weight, take this drug, take this drug, take this drug, take this drug. And it is overwhelming. And so your computer is getting fed today. And then there's all the other kind of things that also, because remember, they advertise 5 million green drinks. And then if you're not doing the green drinks, then you have to take take one scoops, whatever. They're constantly trying to get all of us to constantly take drugs or do this or, you know, do that. So I've come to the conclusion that this is the only ad I want to see, cigarettes. Yeah. You know why I want cigarettes? I think every ad should only be cigarettes only alone, because then I could stand up and say, cigarettes aren't good for you. And then you all go, yeah, you're right. And then we wouldn't care about those dumb cigarette ads. But right now, they have all these ads that are confusion. It brings such confusion into a computer. So when I say this, when we're talking about identity in Christ and knowing who you are, you have to realize your computer is getting also bombarded until literally sometimes, you know how your computer goes, got too much and it tries to shut off on you? At least mine does. Shuts off, Wendy, not working, not doing. And I'm thinking, you know, my real computer too. And I'm like, you know, you and I have to really, really press in to what God says, because the world is really pressing in to get your computer full of other things. And when it's full, nothing else gets inputted until you start deleting. You know, do any of you have to delete things off your stuff so that there's space to get the good stuff on your computer? So some of y'all need to start deleting some of that stuff. Delete what is not going to bring life to you. So when we're talking about the glass house, you and I, man, re-listen to some of those amazing things that have been said in the last several weeks, but really to get a hold of that, your identity. What does God say? And what he says is so full of life. So when I thought about myself in talking about a couple things about living in the glass house, one of the things that I just, you know, when I look at a glass house, I thought, when I grew up in the house next door, I was like, yep, see me, you know, because everybody that drove into church, I was right there all the time, right there at the neighborhood, you know, I was right there in the house, yep, see me. And I thought, you know, that's actually the right attitude that we as believers need to live in the glass house that we live on earth, is that we have the identity of Christ. Now that goes to the previous weeks that have been taught, so re-listen to that. But also in today, that we understand you and I are the only example of Jesus that the world is going to see. They see us. This is that. And you and I need to recognize, okay, see me, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing, you guys. See, most Christians, we don't really want to say much. We don't really want to put ourselves out there. We don't really want to, you know, be embarrassed. Are you a Christian? Well, yeah. Do you go to church? We're not loud and bold too often about our relationship as a Christian. For some reason, it's kind of like everybody else will brag about whatever they do, but we have sometimes taken on that horrible thing of hiding, really, that Christ in me, the hope of glory. you know, and being glad of it. You know, there's a story of a preacher years ago that I heard him tell this story. He was in an elevator. And in the elevator, the guys that were in the elevator, these guys in the elevator, they were talking to each other. And in their conversation, they were just swearing. I mean, just word after word after word after word. And he's standing there thinking, they don't care one two hit that I'm standing here and listen to them talk like that. They don't care. They don't look at me and apologize for saying, probably that offends you, which it did offend him. He didn't want to have to be standing in no small little elevator with these guys talking like that. So he decided to just go head on and praise opposite of what they were praising. So they were praising their worldly life, and he just decided to say, I just want to thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me in my life. You have saved me, you have redeemed me, and I am yours forever. And of course, the two guys stopped talking. They're looking at him like, well, whatever. Like, look at him. And he said, you were praising your God, so I decided to praise mine. You know, but we are Christians have been notoriously very shy, very withdrawn, or whatever you want to call it, of really saying, this is who I am. Let me read you a couple scriptures. Very simply, they're going to be up on the board, but look in your Bible. Matthew 5, verse 14. Okay, so here we go. Matthew 5, verse 14. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light. Bring out the God colors of this world. We're here. There's certain things that you and I want to put into our computer as absolutes. I'm the light of Jesus, okay? God is not a secret to be kept. Some of you maybe have just not really decided that this is, you know, I want to figure out how to do this. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I put you out there on a hilltop on a light stand, shine. Come on, somebody, shine. You know that we are the shine on this earth. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. I like that. Be generous with your life. That's shining about who Jesus is in our life. It says, be open to others. You know, there's no better person than to be in any environment of humanity than having Christians in the story. Because Christians love all people. You know, I saw this little picture show up on one of my, you know, I don't know where it was, X or Instagram or something. And the person was very unique looking. And the question was, would you witness to this person? Or would you talk to, actually, they didn't say witness, excuse me. Would you talk to this person? And I remember thinking, well, yeah. Would it be maybe super easy? I might go, whoa, because I can't see past, there so much was on her face. You know, they had piercing on 3 million places and tattooed the whole face. And I'm thinking, I'd have to just look at the eyes, but I could do it. Why? Well, because I'm a light person. Light. I'm a child of the light. I'm a child of Jesus. So could I do that? Yes. And when you really think about it, look at this particular, I love this, when it says, keep open house, be generous with your life, be open to others. There is no believing group of people that Jesus people that will love all people. Now, that doesn't mean we haven't had issues at times, but on the general core of who we are, it says, love one another. And it isn't about, and it's male nor female. It's neither bond nor free. It's neither rich or poor. Which really, the biblical way is that God says, guess what? You love all people. So there's no good or bad people. There's no, like, you can't love this person and you can't love this person. And that you and I as believers, that we can be in the world, not of the world, and love all people. That is one of the gifts of being a Jesus living person, is that we can love all people because why? All people need to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Nobody cannot be saved. Amen. So all people can be saved. So we are the light. So yes, we will talk to all people, love all people in all situations. I was in Italy years ago. Tasha was a teenager. That's how many years ago I was. And I was at, they call it the boot of Italy. So I'm at the boot of Italy and we were at a church and I was standing outside and this guy came up and he was talking to me. He was the nicest guy. We were just talking. He asked me what I was doing. And he knew I was American. And I said, oh yeah, I'm here teaching the Bible. And he said, well, what do you do? Blah, blah, blah. And I was talking all about just the Bible and Jesus. And, you know, that's generally the conversation. And he goes, well, nice talking to you. And he walked away. So then the person, that pastor guy, he was standing, he had seen it, and I had seen his face, but I did not read his face well. And then when he got up, he goes, "Do you know who you were just talking to?" And I said, "Not a clue." He goes, "Basically the head of the whole mafia of our area." And I'm going, "Yes! Did I love that for that moment? I didn't know that. But I love the opportunity that God gave me." And I thought, it didn't matter. Now, mind you, like if he was gonna, you know, if he would have pulled me off, you know what I mean, praise the Lord, I was all safe. But I said, no, we will talk to all people. And could they get saved? Of course they could. Did they probably have some really scary things in the testimony of this person? Probably. But guess what? They can get saved. All people can get saved. So the reason I kind of pathway this is that we are the light to the darkness of the world. We are the light. And we live in this beautiful place that God has called us to be the light, and that we would generously give it to all people around us. I love this. Be open to others. You promote people to open up to God. This, our generous Father in heaven. I love that. Notice this, 1 Peter 2. Friends, this world is not your home. Listen to this. Notice this. Friends, come on, friends. He's speaking to all of us. Friends, this world is not your home. You know, too many of us live off of our dailiness of life, and we put such a high value on, in the sense of, I got to get ahead. Well, I mean, God wants you to be promoted. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to have more than enough. But this is not your home. This is not your home. You know, I mean, like when people think, oh, I need to get this, I need to get that. I'm like, you do know that heaven is way better than earth, right? I mean, we're only on earth for a short amount of time. Get your priorities right. Yes, God wants you to be promoted because he wants you to take care of all the different things financially and have, but God doesn't want you to, oh, put that scripture back up. It says, friends, yeah, friends, this is not your home. So don't make yourself cozy in it. Like, this is not it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Man, oh man, live an exemplary life in your neighborhood so that your actions will refute their prejudice, because people will talk. Then they'll be won over to God's side and be there to join in the celebration when he arrives. Isn't our dream, isn't that good? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't our dream and our goal that we win people to Jesus? And there's a quote that I wrote down by Saint. I'll read it to you. This Saint Assisi, yeah, Saint Francis. Preach the gospel, and at all times, when necessary, use words. See, we are the light. We are the light. You know, and Romans teaches us by the goodness of God, people come into repentance. I am not teaching us to go bang on people's head and tell them they're going to hell and be mean and, you know, you're a sinner, I can't hardly be around you. They will know we love. They will know Jesus is Lord. No, we don't laugh at their yucky stuff. No, we don't engage in their stuff. That we don't have to engage in people's junk just so that we'll be accepted. No, we can step apart. We don't need to be like that. One of my, the family that I lived with in my senior year, the mother had been a teacher, and she had lost several children through miscarriage. It was a really devastating, her testimony backwards. And she said, she had never gone to church, but she was a school teacher. She said she was devastated in life and she didn't know what to do. She was so hurt and just really empty. She said there was one teacher that was always different than all the other teachers, always. She didn't know why. She had not a clue why, except that when things happened, when they were kind of telling jokes, she wasn't there. When things were, you know, partying, she just wasn't really there, but yet she was always present. So she went to the one person that was different and said, "You're different, and I am in such pain. What do I do?" And she was a Christian. She was a Christian. And she's the one that got her born again. And it's the family that I end up living with in my senior year. You know, your life is so important to be a Jesus person, to be the light. Use your bent to personality. Use your bent to personality strength. Be the you, but be the light in the world. The second thing that I really wanted to mention, though, in dealing with number one is, yep, they see me, okay? Number two, Tasha wrote a cute note on my notes. I just saw it right now. You are so sweet. It's right here. Isn't she? She's the best. I got the best daughter in the world. Number two. Okay, here's a glass house. Okay, we look at this gorgeous glass house. Mud and stuff gets on our house. Mud and stuff gets on our house, people. Let me just say that you know, I had a couple scriptures that I love these, because these are a couple scriptures that just bless me, and then you'll understand it even further. It says this. It says, for the righteous person may fall seven times. This is Proverbs 24, and it's only verse 16. But it says, but a righteous person will fall seven times and rise again, and the wicked shall fall but calamity. You know, I don't know about y'all. I've been saved since I was 17. I'm 68. I've had some challenges. I've had mud on my house. You know, I've gossiped when I shouldn't have gossiped. I've gotten mad when I shouldn't have gotten mad. I've spent money that I shouldn't have spent. You know, I was greedy or jealous, or I've had all the emotions. I've walked down all the pathway. And please stop looking at me like that. I've had a lot of mud on my house because I'm just, you know, I say things that I shouldn't say. I've acted in ways I shouldn't act. And the truth is, and it's still the truth, if you drive poorly around me, I will honk your booty out of my way. I'm like, don't you be driving like that. Get driving, okay? Like I do, that's one of those things. I'm like, oops. I had a person one time driving in my car and they said, oh, I don't drive with people that honk. And I said, well, where's the next corner, honey? And I'll drop you off. I'm just saying. But I thought, you know, we live in a glass house and we get mud on our house. Or we get mud in the situations of our life. You have situations that sometimes can overwhelm you. You don't know what to do all the time. Sometimes there's a sickness. Sometimes there's a challenge. Sometimes you have things happen in your life that you don't understand. And you feel a little bit lost out there, and you don't know really how to handle certain things. Because if you live long enough on earth, you will always have something that just wants to knock you down. And that's the mud on your house, the mud on the thing that just causes pain or causes questions, causes anxiety, causes, you know, you're just like, you know, and you know, that are very challenging. And you think, you know, when we got that diagnosis several years ago of our granddaughter, when she got diagnosed with cancer, to me that is like mud on my house. Like, no, I don't want that mud on my house. No, I don't want to have that earth challenge. No, that's not fair. I don't want her to go through pain. Give me the pain. Don't give her the pain, you know, but it's mud on your house. And you have to figure out, though you fall seven times, the righteous people, we get back up. We will win. And I say that to all of us as believers in this room. You know what? Yes, I've heard people say, well, you know, I didn't want to go back to church because I really did this and this and this, and I didn't want anybody to know. I want to go, wow. So you run from the very place that would offer the most honest love and uplifting and prayer. See, that's such a devil trickery. The devil tricks us into running from believers and thinking, oh, well, they'll just judge me. I'm like, what do you mean judge you? What about the fact they might tell you the truth? Like, how stupid are you? Do you not want to hear that? I mean, if you go out there and just wreck your car because you were drunk and someone says, how stupid are you? Don't you deserve that? I mean, you know what I mean? So I mean, like, it's kind of like, no, we're being real honest and we're being real people that are growing in the things that God has for us to grow in. So I'm like, man, oh man, yes, you're going to get mud on your house. Yes, there's going to be times that you wonder about things, you're challenged about things, you're hurt about things. But man, it says the righteous get up. And it says this in Romans 12:9. This is a key. And he said, Romans 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. I have felt weak at times, but God's strength is made perfect. Therefore, most godly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest in me. I am not all that. I can't get it all, but God in me. Amen? So we have that power. Now, I'll tell you something. When I, and you know, living for Jesus for, you know, years of my life, since I was 17, you know, the thing is that, you know, I get it that I'm the light. I get it that there's going to be dirt on me. But there is something to me, and I really want you to lean into this part. This last part of really what I want to say is about being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and with the power of praying in other tongues. You know, many people kind of put it on the side, being filled with the Holy Spirit and praying in other tongues. Many people kind of put it like, well, you know, it's kind of odd. It's kind of different. You know, really, what does it do? You know, and I guess I really would love us as I would really love to the Holy Spirit touch you with the value of being filled with the Holy Spirit and the why. So when we just look at very simple scriptures, Acts 1:8, all the apostles were assembled together. Acts 1:8 verse 4, the apostles were assembled together right after Jesus had been crucified. Now think about this. All these most important people that had walked with Jesus says, don't leave until you get what? The power of the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8. And he says, I'll give it to all of you, not just some of you, all of you. So my question is, are all of you filled with the Holy Spirit as Jesus spoke to his disciples that all would be filled with the Holy Spirit? Then Acts 2:4, he goes right into, it says, and when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will speak in a mystery language. You will speak in a language that 1 Corinthians 14:2 says this, he who speaks in tongues, that's the mystery language, or the praying in the Holy Spirit, same thing, they use different terminology, for he who speaks in tongues does not speak to man. I think this is such an important part of understanding the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not speaking to you, it says, but to God. When I am praying in this power language that God gives every single one of us, remember he said, all will be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I am not speaking to you, I'm speaking to God. And it says, and then it says this, and no one understands him. So when you are praying in the language, no one understands you. Now, there is another part that some says there could be an interpretation, but we're talking about just personal prayer language, okay? Not the gift of the Holy Spirit, of a different part. So you understand this, how we are, then it says, I will pray in the Spirit. Verse 14, for if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the dishes in then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. So you and I, that God has given this amazing gift of being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And in that, he says, I want to give you a mystery language. I want to give you something that you don't know what you're saying. Why? Well, because it goes past your fear. It goes past your knowledge. It goes past your doubt. But he says, but I give you this mystery language that you can pray directly to me. And then it says this in Romans 8 and verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in my what? In my weaknesses. Sheesh. I mean, I have felt so weak at times. Weak to be the light. Weak though when mud has been splashed on my house. Weak in my life. And it says, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. How many times we're like, dang, don't know what to do. I can't even overcome this. It's bigger than me. Life is bigger than me. Life has situations that I don't know what to do. But God says, honey, I gave you something. I gave you this amazing gift called being filled with my power, filled with my Holy Spirit. I gave you a mystery language that actually it goes past your thinking so that you don't have to worry. You can just speak to me in what needs to be said. And then it says this in Jude 20, but you beloved. I love how God speaks to us in his word, but you beloved, it says, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So what does it do? It builds you up. It builds you up. It helps you be strong. I cannot tell you how many times, I mean, you know, when you go through life, there's tough situations. I mean, everything from financial challenges that me and Casey have had, the church has had, to people challenges that people have had, to friendship challenges that we've had. How many challenges have you had in your life? You know, what about, you know, children challenges? I mean, you know, when Caleb has shared how many times Caleb and Chris have had miscarried. What do you do with that level of pain? I mean, those were my grandkids. They're in heaven. But I didn't want them in heaven first. I wanted them here. I mean, there are things that happen that are not fun on earth. Well, what do you do with that? How do you get power and how do you overcome? Well, I don't know. I've always wondered, what do people do? But when God says, he said, honey, He said, my kids, listen, I've given you something. I've given you the power of God to pray and you use the power of my Holy Spirit. What does it do? It builds you up. You know, I don't feel defeated after all the different things that have happened. I don't feel the defeat. I feel the power of God in my life. I feel his ability there. There have been many things that I do not understand, but I have prayed in the Holy Spirit. The language that I do not know, it goes past my knowledge. It goes past my fear. It goes past my doubts. It goes past my abilities. God says, pray in this language that I will give to you. When I first started to pray, back when I was 17 years old, you know, when you first start to speak in any language, you get a little part of your language. And like anything in life, now I can speak in full paragraphs and full pages as in praying in the Holy Spirit. And I think that that also trips people up because they're like, well, how do you do it? You jump off the ladder. You just jumped off the ladder. You dive in and you allow the mystery language to come forth that you do not understand and let it come forth out of you. And then through your Christian life, you continuously pray in the Holy Spirit and allow the presence of God to bring more definition to your language, more in prayer. But many of us, we pray for 2 seconds in a week and we don't pray anymore. Many of you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You pray in tongues all the time. Pray more. Some of you, you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Today's your day. Some of you a long time ago got filled, but you have not been praying. Today's your day to also receive.
Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.